Hello, this is Wise Men Say, episode 2, following on in numerical fashion from episode 1. Been a little while since we recorded, mainly because our last league home game was a little while ago, so we've got plenty to talk about. We've got four games to kind of review and meander about, and we were also going to do a small section on Sir Steve Finney.
He is a sir.
He is a sir. So, my name's Robin.
I'm Ben. It's just the two of us today, so you're lucky, lucky people.
Just the two of us.
Wise men say at life.co.uk. So don't delay. Get on your email today.
Okay, match reviews, four to get through, starting with an abhorrent, by all accounts, performance away at the MK Don Stadium.
Not a great day out for anyone, really.
Not a great day out, yeah. We went 1-0 up, as I'm sure everyone knows, and then we ended up losing the game 2-1. All of the goals, pretty calamitous from a defensive point of view, particularly ours, I'd say.
Yeah, well, ours, if I was a defender for MK Don's or MK Don's player... It's a very soft goal to concede. But we've had quite a bit of feedback from some people who went. Michael Baker emailed us in. He's actually got his own blog. We'll give the email address, the actual blog address at the end of this podcast, or it'll be on our own blog. You can get it from there. Some of the points he made about O'Brien.
Yeah, O'Brien's fourth straight good performance, he says. And, I'd be inclined to agree with that. O'Brien is... The thing with O'Brien is that, obviously, we all know he has pace. He shouldn't be the most effective midfielder in the side, but up until, well, certainly at that point in the season, he was. You know, he was the only one. You can't really call him a creative spark because he hasn't really got that cultured game.
O'Brien, to me, is your quintessential sensible soccer player in that he can run in a straight line very quickly, but it's the left and right which may be it's a like problem.
It's like when you first, when you're a kid, you know, you take a heavy touch and you catch the ball up, you take another touch, but you don't really change direction.
it does work in some situations, but it's kind of, if he could add it turning into his game, then he'd be a world beater.
Yeah.
Other things from Michael, he said about David Lucas' return to form, and if you look through the highlights, or if you were there yourself, he did have a good match there, quite a few key saves, very good performance.
Yeah, Michael says we're missing a creative spark in midfield. I'd be inclined to agree with that, even after our glorious victory today. But, Simon Fuller has also emailed in. He went to the game, made the point that if we're not offering anything going forward, it's a little irrelevant how the defence plays. We were being viewed as weak, easy to beat, frail, fragile, all other sorts of adjectives.
Simon's more in my camp as well for the O'Brien. It's not a hate campaign or anything like that, but just I think he doesn't really see O'Brien offering.
Do you know what? If we're gonna launch a hate campaign, I'd rather launch it against Pratton. I've got to say
we're not launching a hate campaign.
Can we though?
Why?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe it'll be sort of like catharsis from you know when I was younger.
We're not starting a hate campaign. Michael Baker does point out that one of the positives from the match was Pratton sending off.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there was a small ripple of applause when the card was produced.
And do you know what? I didn't even like that sending off because for me, he kind of skulked about. He was careless. He lost the ball, and then the foul. That was a careless foul as well. It wasn't a good foul. There was no conviction about it. It was just a hey, my name's David Pratton. I've got long hair. I'm Mr. Big Time. I used to play in the Championship. You know, I'm just gonna flit around the pitch.
Look at my hair. Isn't
hey, what are you doing with the ball? I'm gonna foul you, man.
He's not some mid 80s stoner just walking around just going, oh man, I have no idea why I'm here.
I think that's his problem.
Some of the feedback we got from Michael and again from Simon, well, mainly from Michael, he said overall match rating out of 10, gave it 3 out of 10, said it was a poor performance, poor result, poor opposition fans in a poor location. So, not the best day out.
A lot of poor there.
A lot of poor.
A lot of poor.
Four paws.
I think four paws, that's a bear. That's terrible. The point is that from there we've worked our way up, haven't we? We all know what's happened since then, and it culminated in the glorious victory today. So we will move on.
Hey guys, it's too late, man. Why do you send me an email already? It's a wise man say at live.co.uk. Speak to you later.
Okay, moving on to Southampton, away at St Mary's.
Hurrah!
Wow, what a result. The Johnston's Paint Trophy. Ben, have you ever seen the Johnston's Paint Trophy?
Yeah. I'm sure it's massive. It's not just a paint can or something like that. It's a very prestigious trophy, obviously. Saints were the holders.
Moving on, Southampton. good time to play them. Their mind was on all sorts of other things. They didn't actually seem to get the run of the ball either, so nothing was really going their way, and obviously they'd...
Did you see it being 3-0, though, after, let's take into account the MK Dons match, when I think that probably the low point of the season so far, and I know we're only, what, 5 or 6 games in.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see it being... a win, I could kind of see that, but I didn't see it being by so much, and I certainly did not see... Big V scoring too.
Yeah, I mean, you've got your own thoughts on Big V, I know, but I quite like the lad. I think he's quite lovable.
It was great to see him get off the mark.
I mean, that first goal was fantastic.
Yeah.
Charlie Austin gambled in a way and delivered a fantastic cross, basically running down a blind alley, really. Mm. You know, and the gamble paid off. It was a very unorthodox finish. Reminded me of myself in some ways.
I'm pretty sure Big V does that on a daily basis in training.
Yeah.
It was a class finish. I don't think I can say that enough. It was an absolutely fantastic finish.
Yeah, I mean, the purist would obviously have taken it with the inside of his left, but yeah.
I imagine that's probably his only complaint. But, I wish I could have taken it down the chest, maybe kneeled down and headed it over the line.
Yeah. I mean, he got 2, didn't he, which can only be a good thing for him. And yeah, well done, Charlie. Well done, Big Kev, the creative force that he is, for setting up the second one.
Great cross.
Swept home by Mr. Austin, and... O'Brien with the assist for the third. Needed, I'm sure you noticed as well, but he needed...
He showed all that sensible soccer pace.
He showed his sensible soccer.
You know what he was? He was, you know, used to get the star players.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, no, because the ball used to stick to them, didn't it? The ball used to stick to them a little bit. You could actually, you know, you could wiggle your joystick and it wouldn't fire off at a crazy angle, you know.
Maybe Wilson was wiggling the joystick.
Maybe Wilson was wiggling his joystick. There's an image for you. But, yeah, I mean, he needed frantic wiggling from Wilson. O'Brien did need the 2 crosses to find him.
But still, to get in the position in the first place, there's very few players who can do it.
His potential effectiveness, especially at League One level, was on display there. If you look at that goal, I mean, you know, he's second favourite. He gets there first. He's into a crossing position. a hint of turn from the second touch.
Yeah. There's always something about when a player beats another player in that fashion that's my favourite thing in the game. Tricks, great finishes, stuff like that. Yeah, I appreciate them more, but player beating another player just by the use of pace, balance and body swerve is still the greatest thing in the game for me.
Yeah, I mean to be fair, he just got there first, didn't he?
But listen, I'm gonna big it up. Yeah, it was all of it. It was pace, power, body swerve, intelligence, cunning, craftiness, shiftiness.
I mean, and on O'Brien, you know, and on hate campaigns, I just
want starting a hate campaign.
I'm not going to start a hate campaign. You know, I wouldn't be very good at it anyway. I haven't got that much hate in me. But O'Brien is a pacey player. I'm pretty insightful, aren't I? No, O'Brien should come off the bench. O'Brien should be a bench player. He should be coming on for the last 20 when the defence is tired, when perhaps we need something else, or in an away performance, perhaps when we need some width if he continues to play narrow like we did today. However, when we played Southampton in the Johnston's Paint Trophy, O'Brien was doing as well for Town as anyone else.
Yeah,
so definitely. You know, I mean,
great performance. The only sort of potential take the gloss off the performance itself was Douglas getting injured, but then Will Evans came in, the young lad, got fouled for the sending off. Always good being involved, but yeah, he put in a good performance by all accounts through to the next round. The draw was yesterday, I think it was. No, it was yesterday or today. Live in Soccer AM, which is always a fun program.
What's
Torquay, we're playing Helen Chamberlain's Torquay. I bet she had plenty to say about it in her own style.
To give them that. Is she still with Matey Boy, with James Wade, the dartist?
I have no idea.
Oh, really?
That's a separate discussion. But yeah. Apparently the match is commencing 4th of October. So Torquay at home.
So there it is, you know, Wembley's on the cards. Anyway, that was our first victory of the season, as I'm sure everyone knows.
And let the momentum carry through.
Yeah, moving on.
Hello. All email correspondence should be directed to wisemensay@live.co.uk.
Okay, away at Carlisle, September the 4th at Brunton Park. I listened to this on Wiltshire Sound, good old Wiltshire Sound. My personal highlight was when Charlie Austin was referred to as Charlie Nicholas. That's always nice. my mate said that, I mean, he's a very passionate kind of fan, and he said it was a poor result. I disagreed. I said it was a good result. I can kind of see
good
both.
Result. Come on, yeah, definitely a good result, given their current league form and current league position and the bit of the downer we were on league form-wise then. Yeah, good result. Go all that distance and get a draw.
They had
chances. We had chances, but fair result.
They won again today, actually, the Beach Shuffle Wednesday. Yeah. They're second in the league. I think they were second when we played them as well, second or third. But, by all accounts, did very well. Again, we've had some We've had some feedback. I listened to it on the radio. It certainly sounded like we were in the game. Paul Arnold, who emailed in to tell us that Morrison and Kennedy both did very well, by all accounts.
Kind of the story of their season so far, though, them two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Morrison is...
Yeah, he's been amazing.
And he's quite kind of...
He's like a 50s B-movie kind of radiation-affected man. he's a giant.
He is, but he's Yeah, he almost goes unnoticed. He's always got that, you know, like a real tight drummer. You know, you don't notice he's there.
he's the Phil Collins of the operation.
Yeah,
Phil Collins is not a tight drummer. I think we just need to point that out. He also looks like Paddy McGuinness.
He does.
As I pointed out to you today, maybe that was because I was squinting, but he does look a bit like him.
I'm no longer going to deny the fact he's 19. He's clearly 19.
He's proved it. He showed us some identification.
Yeah.
But, Paul Arnold. What else has he said?
Paul Arnold, so, as I said, Morrison Kennedy did well. Also said that the fans were excellent the whole way. 260 there, but sounded like double that. We've also got another...
A link there from my mate Malcolm. Yeah, Malcolm Day. He said about, is it town fans mocking Lucas when he's giving out orders to the players? And Lucas loved it.
It's always nice when you get a smile off the keeper. Was the bobble as bad as all that? Was it at the end where the town fans were? You can let us know. It looked pretty bad on telly.
It's almost like he's been sort of subject to some sort of curse.
Yeah,
someone's out to get him.
He's
the bobble man.
The bobble man.
Bobble.
He's pretty bobblicious, isn't he?
That's awful. The recipient of some bad bricklaying. Forever put a curse on Charlie. That's what it is.
Yeah, unlucky Charlie, we love you anyway. Paul Arnold also talks about, says that one of the negatives from the game was the fact that they were given they only got an 8-page program, which does seem a little bit lax, doesn't it?
A village fete.
Yeah, a bit like the sort of program you get at a village fete.
Details of the dog show. And also there's a cake sale afterwards.
Perhaps a child's poem at the back, talking about environmental issues, you know.
Douglas, what's going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, quite. Yeah, another point that Paul makes was that Douglas was not in the game.
No, we spoke about this before today's game.
We did.
As if...
And let's not move on to today's game yet.
No, but I'm just saying, maybe...
Structure.
Maybe what we said before about how the burden of the captaincy was weighing quite heavily on him. But maybe teams have just become highly aware that, all right, Charlie's our main goal-scoring threat. Snuff him out. Put him in areas that you don't want him to
Douglas
do.
Douglas is the best passer.
And
don't give him
best
time
passer.
On the ball.
Yeah, don't give him time on the ball.
But I
force him deeper and deeper. It's not like he pushed forward.
Anyway.
I know, but it's just.
I don't know. Or
again, maybe there's no runs for him.
I've got my own thoughts on this, especially after the game today, so we can move on, because Johnny Douglas, for the last 20 today, was the Johnny Douglas that I know and love. Anyway, that's a separate game. We're talking about Carlisle. Sounded like we gave a very good account of ourselves, and you know, I would struggle to empathise with anybody who does not think that 0-0 away at Carlisle, with the way we were playing the way they were playing at this stage in the season, was not a good result.
A few moments actually there again from Malk and his mates. I think Nobby's one of them. They said here about one of the best moments being Big V starting the game. People have been happy about that, and I think the worst moment, Big V being substituted.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say?
Ripping up of the ticket there and then.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Perikar starts, and Dosavi is the impact player who you bring off the bench. That's the way I see it at the moment. That's not to say it's always going to be that way. Dosavi's got a trick or two. He's cute. He's clever. He can beat a man. Perikar, you know what you're getting. You know, you've got a big lump up front. That's not to say he hasn't got a touch. That's not to say he can't bring people into the game. Of course he can, but for me, it's him that starts, and it's Dosavi that is our impact player. Yeah, I think he's one of those. I think he does have, you know, does have technical ability, but it's not consistent, shall we say.
But overall, good result.
Definite good result away at Carlisle, even though it left us bottom of the league. once the other teams played their games in hand. Yes, a good result.
Oh man, wise men say at live.co.uk. You gotta mail, man. You gotta.
Okay, this is where the more astute listeners will probably detect a slight happier tone in our voices, because we're going to review Southampton today, and we won. We got the 3 points. I don't care that Southampton are currently rudderless. I don't care that for the first 10 minutes we barely had the ball.
A win's a win.
A win is a win,
and it's nice that we're now like their bogey team.
Yeah, Absolutely. We are, I mean, it's glorious. What a glorious, 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 glorious 3 points. I mean, you know, who cares 1-0? I mean, I really couldn't care less. That's a fantastic win, and it means that we can look forward now. Also, after we went 1-0 up, how good was Johnny Douglas? He was the Johnny Douglas of old. He was winning the ball, he was feisty, he was distributing it quickly, his head up, snapped up every time he had the ball at his feet. Love it.
But we said that the second half, on the whole, same for Preston, they just seemed to impose themselves in the game a lot more. And I think the turning point for Johnny Douglas, probably even before the goal, a few sort of tackles that he put in, which were full-blooded tackles.
Yeah.
It's like he wanted it, and it's kind of like he was driving his team along.
And do you know what? I kind of thought to myself that maybe, you know, he's been kind of... Or maybe he's been blaming himself a little bit for the results and the performances, in that since he's been captain, we've not been the same side. And maybe he's... Because it did seem like there was a bit of a release there after we went 1-0 up, and it looked like we were going to win the game. We were kind of in the ascendancy. He really, really did... really came into the game, and
I can see what you mean. It's almost like the burden had been sort of lifted off his shoulders, and he just started to play his natural game. But I think there was a kind of a release around the whole team, realising that they were in charge of their own destiny for the rest of the game.
You know, at half time I would have taken 0-0. You said you would have taken 0-0.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, 0-0 at half time. For me, they'd hit the bar already.
Yeah,
you know, very early on.
And they hit the top of the bar with a weird one.
Yeah, that's weird. But I mean, walking down... with a weird one.
With a weird one.
Oh, right, yeah, weird thing. Yeah, I remember that. Walking down to the ground with you, and I remember just saying to you, and when we met with my mate John, just thinking, you know, I'm a bit nervous here. And I was a bit nervous for the game, because it's one of...
If we'd lost that game today, we would have been, not stranded, I mean, that's dramatic, but
I think booze would have come out. Not booze drinking, but
yeah, but people don't need much excuse to boo. Well, some people don't need much excuse to boo. Anyway, first half, not a massive fan of that formation at home. I thought it was narrow. I thought you're taking away two things, and I'm sure plenty of people will agree with me in saying that, you know, you can't, you know, if you're going to play McGovern as almost a number 10 in the hole, you know he's probably one of the best crossers of the ball in the league. And you're taking that away. In addition, if you're not going to have any width, then Johnny Douglas, who's probably one of the best long passers and certainly one of the best creative passers in terms of the weight he can put on a ball and the way he can play people in behind a defence from you know, a central position out to the flanks, he's not going to be able to do that because there's no one out there. There was no width.
Yeah.
If you're going to play a narrow midfield, then you would expect that they wouldn't just be able to dink the ball over the top of us.
It didn't offer width, but I do think it offered more... stability in the midfield
sense. Because they were just knocking it over the top and getting in through the channels. I mean, you know, but I don't know. I mean, that formation for me works, but not at home. At home, I'd like to see us a bit more adventurous, but that's a bit idealistic, because at the end of the day, that formation, as soon as we went 1-0 up, that formation kind of worked, you know? Wilson obviously knew what he was doing, and I obviously am just a meandering fool.
He never returns the calls, Bass.
I've tried to, yeah.
Hi, Danny. Just got an idea for what you should do for the next formation.
Although, you know, he's been starting Periquois, yes.
Yeah, there we are.
The sophisticated...
Periquois, he looked pretty good again today.
Yeah.
He works well with Charlie.
He does.
Let's talk about Charlie.
We should. We're going to have to talk.
For the goal.
We've just lost our best player for a bit.
Well, let's go before that. Just the goal, and obviously it's come from a corner. Morrison's header, off the bar. I'm going to say that Morrison scored it as well. It basically counts as two goals in one. I'm pretty sure it was across the line. Not seen any replays of it yet.
Yeah, I don't think it was, but yeah, we'll have to.
As good as a goal. And then it's kind of Austin's bundled it in somehow. I think you said to me, it's not really the prettiest of finishes, but.
No, yeah, it wasn't a pretty goal, but I mean, it's a depending on how long he's out for, it's quite a big price to pay for your first win. But
So he was poleaxed by the keeper, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And straight away, as soon as he had been poleaxed,
yeah.
I think he was signalling straight away.
Yeah.
Well,
his shoulder, isn't he? That's
winking, maybe.
You know, I saw him, Ben, on Sunday.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw him in a Swindon-based eatery.
Did you?
With his lady friend.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Which eatery?
It was the Toby Carvery. I saw Charlie Austin at the Toby Carvery. Yeah,
did he have a big plate?
He had a pretty big plate.
Did he have all three meats?
I had all three meats. I don't know whether he did. I got to be honest though. It made me depressed because, you know, I love watching him play. I think the way he's come on and developed into this fantastically well-rounded player who always seems to make the right decision.
Yeah, I know. You kept saying that quite a bit throughout the game, how he very rarely makes the wrong decision.
Wasn't his best game today, but
But he still makes the right decisions a lot of the time. And let's contrast that with the man Prutton.
Yeah.
And your hate campaign that you've already made banners for.
I don't... badges. No.
Well, not banners. Always badges.
No, badges. I'm going to just set some badges on...
That doesn't even make sense. you were saying about Prutton. You kept saying to me that he quite often makes the wrong decision. And to be fair, a lot of the guys sat around us, you hear them saying the same sort of thing. I know there's the guy who sits sort of behind us on the left who you quite often have a Prutton rant with.
I wouldn't mind so much if it looked like he was putting the effort in. And sometimes I see him tracking back and I think, okay,
good. He did some good tracking back in the first half. There was a good block he made.
I think the one moment today was in the first half when he had the ball on the byline and all he had to do was knock it back to McGovern, who was actually in a wide position and he could have just crossed it first time. And instead, he just kind of put his foot on the ball and... He was either going to cross it against the defender's legs, or in the end he just ended up putting it out for a goal kick. But
I know there's one where we were breaking in the second half, and I think it was a sort of a 3-on-3 situation or 4-on-4. And as he's entered the second to their half, everyone's shouting, "Release it!" And he just held on for it far too long.
Yeah, I get the impression with him that he is a little bit like, "Hey, look at me." You know, when he's got the ball, it's like, hey, I've got the ball. I'll release the ball when I want to release the ball. I don't know why he's turned into some...
Why is that his voice?
I don't know. What voice is that? It's kind of like...
Hey, look at me.
It's like Barry White, but not really.
So, yeah, it was a bit disappointing for him, but he did do better in the second half. And as the team as a whole did better in the second half. Again, looking through Kennedy, I thought had an excellent game.
Yeah,
he made a few... And I was surprised when they took him off.
Yeah, maybe...
Well, maybe it's just youth.
Just to tighten things up, I think. Yeah. We're 1-0 up, you know, let's... And I like Lesnar anyway. You know?
Yeah, he's a class player.
He is. He really is. He looked really good at the back, in the middle, you know, for the first couple of games, even though we were shopping goals for fun. You couldn't really blame him for that. But anyway... This is a massive digression, because what I was trying to say before is that it made me sad because, you know, I look up to the guy, I think he's a great player, and he looked like a little baby in the Tony Carvery. You know, I'm 31 years old and he just looked so young, and I thought, wow, you know, how young you are, you know? And it made me sad because I thought, you know.
It's always, I bet he loves you talking to him.
He wasn't even...
All right, Charlie, let's meet your man.
No, I mean, a small nod, you know. That's all. I wasn't going to encroach on the lad's time. But yeah, very very young looking when you see him up front. I guess what I'm trying to say is it made me realise how old I'm getting.
Yeah, that's slight digression, but that's fine.
Massive digression. Okay, was it a sending off, Ben Hammond? I thought not, but I mean, you know, it was reckless.
It was reckless. I think that because of the stage of the game, it was. Because they didn't really show any chance, I don't think they were going to score at that point. Like, they weren't going to come back because it was too late in the game. I think it was the sensible decision. I know the crowd were bathing for blood at that point.
You're kind of right there. The stage in the game, a lot of people would say, and rightly so, really, by the letter of the law, that shouldn't affect anything. But I think good refereeing is...
He had a really good game, that ref, today.
He let
a lot of things go from their perspective and a lot of things go from our perspective. Even he let it be quite an open game. I don't think there were masses of fouls, to be fair.
I mean, over the last, you know, well, ever since we've been in this league, really, the standard of the refereeing has been consistently appalling. And, you know, today, I thought the lino got a few things wrong in the first half.
Yeah. But, yeah, you got quite a bit of a barracking from the crowd from where we were sat. The bit that made me laugh today is, you know, there was an announcement from over the PA.
About
just please reminding all fans to remain seated at all times. And those two guys in front of us, one of them stood up and pointed at the Southampton fans on the Stratton Bank end and said, "That means you web-fingered..." Was it bastards? Web-fingered bastards.
Yeah, it's quite ironic, isn't it? Everyone thinks everyone else has got webbed fingers.
Yeah. The town end were very good voice today.
They were excellent today.
I mean, it was a big crowd though, 11,000.
Right? Yeah. Well, it's local, isn't it? Yeah. I mean,
but they were always going to bring a big amount along as well.
Yeah. I'm glad we beat them. Wow, God, I'm glad we beat them.
As I said earlier, mate, I think it would have been the Boo Boys would have been out.
Yeah, they would have. I mean, we would have been. Yeah.
To be honest, up until we did score. You did kind of think, well,
where is it going to come from, yeah.
And I don't think it's not a case of anyone was missing chances or doing anything like that. It just didn't look like It was one of those, oh, it's not going to be our day. I'll take the, and that's why I was saying I take the draw.
There's definitely a case for kind of reviewing it, you know, a little. You could definitely say, look, Southampton are, you know,
they're really, at a low at the moment.
Yeah, they're at a low. We're playing them at a good time, and we've managed to get a very ugly, bundled 1-0 sort of. But to be honest, you know, that you could make a case for us not really having the rub of the green against Brighton or Orient in the cup. And I think the best thing I can say, the positive, is not before we went 1-0 up, but afterwards, that whole team kicked into gear.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll definitely start to play again. But did the formation change?
Well, Ball came on, didn't he?
Well, yeah, and so did Dosevi.
Yeah,
but Ball came off for Austin when Austin was injured. I don't think that affected it when he brought Jean-Francois on, or sorry, Lachanel on, and Dosevi. Did the formation change at that point? Did it go to 4-4-2? I don't know what it could do, because then you would have been playing Ferry on the left, but then Ferry did seem to be occupying the left a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, for me, we played 4-3-1-2 today, but I mean, it was too narrow to be anything else, wasn't it? But I don't know.
Yeah, you didn't really get McGovern getting involved.
No.
And as you said, it kind of takes away from one of his key assets, really, which is his ability to cross the ball.
Yeah. But
hey, there was a good cross whipped in by Kennedy, though, from the corners and stuff. You can deliver a ball quite well. Some of his crossing was a bit wayward. I mean, I think there was one where it was sort of laid back to him and he hit it way out, way over the byline, or way over. But on the whole,
I think if Wilson's set out to get the 1-0 victory and we've got the 1-0 victory, then fair enough. I don't necessarily think that formation is the way forward, particularly as they were able to play completely bypass our midfield for the majority
of
that.
Yeah, they weren't really involved
for the majority of that first half. But I just don't care. I don't care enough because we won. And that's right now, that's all I care about.
I'm just going to stick my fingers in my ears and not listen to any of his bad points at all.
Yeah, we'll
I remember you turned to me for at one point during the game saying, you know, I keep thinking that we're playing River Plate.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, thoughts on the Southampton kit. So we had River Plate. We had Escape to Victory, which was yours, Ben.
And then we had a discussion about how if Escape to Victory is remade, Kevin Amank would definitely be in it.
Yeah.
He'd somehow managed to get his way into that film as a starring role.
Big Kev, the creative force. I mean,
yeah, he's the creative force.
I'd just like to point out that, you know, it's kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek, but there's a lot of love for Big Kev, as far as I'm concerned. You know, he's Big Kev. Yeah, so, I mean, what more can we say? Douglas is hopefully back, right back on top of things.
I thought Ferry did well today as well.
Yeah, Ferry was okay. His pace isn't his greatest asset.
But again, he did some good tracking back.
He did. And to be fair, so did Pratton, but I still think
there's more to come. There's more. Well, he's got
I hope
more to
there's
give.
More to come. Well, I really do.
I've said that wrong. I think that there's, from a player who's played at, who's dropped down this level to this level, and for the wages he's supposedly on.
Yeah.
And for the pedigree that he's supposed to bring, I expect more.
Exactly. Yeah. Where's the effort? Where's the?
I don't think it's just about effort, mate. I think it's just about your basics when he's on it. I expect him to add a touch of class, or
I don't think you're going
to
get
to play his way out of situations. Maybe he's just not that player.
I just think I've developed this kind of image, this kind of assumption, if you like, that he thinks he's Mr. Big Time, and it's just the way he plays. It just when he does something bad, and everyone can see it's bad. 11,000 people there today all saw that stuff that he was doing was bad. He's not holding his hand in his head. He's not having a word with himself. Holding his hands in his head. I mean, that would be impressive. That's what I want to see him do. I just want to see him smash both his fists into his head through his ears. And if he can do that, then I'll be impressed.
Oh, if only. The abilities that you wish he had.
Hold your hands in your head, will you, man?
Cuthbert, man of the match.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming, to be honest.
No, I mean, he was quietly efficient, wasn't he?
He went about it. Maybe that's why he had such a good game. But he didn't. He wasn't an obvious standout for me.
No, I think
based on second half. You would say Morrison?
Yeah.
The man of the match again?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
God, he's flying. He's absolutely flying this season. Yeah.
And he's in, he's got that. He doesn't seem to be the most vocal, but then there's something almost extra intimidating about that because he's so physically big.
Yeah, I mean, he's got good powers of recovery as well. I don't mean recovery in the sense of, normally when people say recovery, they mean the ability to use their pace to get out of situations.
Yeah.
But there's a few times where he got maybe caught in the wrong position or gave the ball away.
Yeah.
But he's able to go and win it back or put enough of a block or stop the play moving forward enough so that other players can get back and sort of break up any attack. So he's a very effective player in all sense of it. And obviously had a hand in the goal as well, an attacking force.
I guess it's a bit like, you know, if you're playing a computer game, you know, there's
we keep referencing computer games.
Well, there's always one character that's got, you know, maybe their punches don't do quite as much damage as the others, but they've got really good recovery.
He's the Dalcine. Yeah. There was a funny moment for me today, and it's Butterfield, their right back. So we sit in the Don Rogers stand. So second half, it's gone out for a throw-in, and it's gone to a guy at the front of the Don Rogers stand, and Butterfield's gone, yeah, chuck the ball to me here, and the guy deliberately chucked it. You remember when he chucked it behind him by about 6, 4, 7 feet behind him. So Butterfield had to run back and get it. And then Butterfield just said something back to the guy. All in jest, in banter, not a kind of... I've never understood people like, he did an obscene gesture to the crowd, he should be sued, that sort of stuff. But childish. I like it. So, in summary, for us.
Yes, plenty to kind of dissect and be a little bit dubious about.
But, no, for me, the euphoria is going to override all that.
Yeah, the euphoria does override all
We're
that.
We're off the mark, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan. Lovely big wide pitch that the County Ground is. Should you really be playing narrow at home? Maybe, if you haven't won a game yet, you should. So that, you know, there is a case for that. So let's not dwell on that. 3 points today.
Maybe that's an element of, all right, well, we haven't won yet. The one thing we can't do today is lose again.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And the only thing I would say to that is that's all well and good, but for the first 15 minutes, they were just playing balls over the top and getting him around the back. But anyway, we won. 3 points. Fantastic.
The win today, it's moved us up to 15th. And I can almost feel the oxygen getting thinner.
Absolutely. Our best player has dislocated his shoulder. A player that is already looking like he might be too good for League One has dislocated his shoulder. So that's a terrible, terrible loss. We have ascertained that Alan O'Brien is as close to a sensible soccer player as we've ever had at Swindon. So that's something else that we should probably recap on.
Yeah, overall for me, I'm going to say today has been a 7 out of 10 day.
I'll go 8.
Eight.
Well, that's 3 points.
You see, this is
that's
you
as many
do.
Points.
You just throw out your match ratings like that without a consideration
it's not,
for.
It's, you, I didn't realise it was a match rate. I mean, from no,
well, I'm not talking about the day as a whole. Breakfast was, you know, pretty good.
My Big Mac a little bit cold, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, you took ages to get. So no, I'm going to stick with that. 7 out of 10 for me.
All right.
I think it's. I'm happy that we've won. I'm happy that we're off the mark. But I think that all right, we played them at the right time. And I still think there's a couple of things there, like we've touched on the formation. Obviously, losing Charlie is a big, big blow. I'm sure there's no one who doesn't wish it's a speedy recovery, but I'm hoping it's one of those. Hey, yeah, it's only 2 weeks.
He's our best player. And that was that's Southampton.
Here, mate, send us an email, wisemensay@live.co.uk. Thanks. How do I switch this off?
Predictions then for the next two games, the next podcast will be.
After
the Huddersfield match on the 25th, before that we've got Walsall away on the 18th. So, Walsall are one of those teams that we should really beat.
In the same sort of position as us at the moment, same sort of start to the season, I think.
Yeah, but they're, you know, Walsall, yeah, they're just one of those teams that we should beat. If we are, you know, the team that we aspire to be, and if we do anything under Wilson anywhere near as well as what we did last season, then we should be beating Walsall. So I'm going to go for a 2-0 away victory. You know, maybe a little bit kind of over exuberant there with my prediction, but I'm going to go for a 2-0.
Ever so slightly.
Yeah. Okay. So
I'm going to say, right, based on last season's result,
based on laced season.
Yeah,
result.
I know that was poor. We've been 1-1. I think it's going to be the same. 1-1.
Yeah?
I think that... Okay, yeah, they are a team we should be beating. But yeah. I don't think we're quite firing on all cylinders yet.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'm going to say 1-0.
I think, you know, maybe I've kind of awarded a 2-0 victory because I'm a little bit kind of concerned at the visit of Huddersfield. Huddersfield, very physically strong side, a good side, particularly at their place. I know that we've got them at home, but it's going to be a tough game, and it's going to be an interesting game because it's going to, you know, they're going to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season, and it would be nice if we could put up a decent game of football. I don't know what that means. If we could, you know, show them what we're capable of. But I think we're going to draw that, and I think it's going to be 1-1. Yeah,
I think it's going to be similar to today's game in that we're playing a team will be there or thereabouts, and I think we're going to grind out a 1-0 win.
Okay, so you're saying...
So 1-0 with Walsall, and then 1-0 with Huddersfield. You're saying 2-0 with Walsall.
And then 1-1 with Huddersfield.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh my days, you get me though! Wise men say at live.co.uk, innit?
Right, this next section is called Blast from the Past. What we do here is reminisce about some players from the past and the fond memories we have of them. And today we're going to be speaking about Sir Steve Finney.
Sir Steve.
Sir Steve. Royalty. Now, a bit of a cult hero.
Yeah.
Cult hero?
Yeah, cult hero.
The impact he had during that 95-96 season, which is when I really first started to come and watch Swindon Town, was enormous. What a contribution. A friend of ours, Malcolm Day, has emailed in with quite a descriptive account of his Steve Finney memories from that season.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, successive relegations and his goals got us the championship. So
lifted us to another place.
It really did. I mean, I'd had a complete roller coaster. I moved to Swindon in 1991, and within a couple of seasons, well, season and a half, we were in the Premiership. So I thought I was pretty lucky. But then we got relegated twice in a row, and then we McMahon came in and signed Finney.
An unknown,
yeah, a free signing from Man City. Mm. And he scored. He scored on the opening day of the season at Hull, at Boothbury Park. The dawn of a new era. The arrival of Steve McMahon.
Blessed with a song. Not Steve McMahon, but obviously Steve Finney.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just walking in a Finney wonderland.
Well, Mount points out that, you know, that song is used, you know, willy-nilly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I still say to this day, right, Christmas, walking in a winter wonderland, always think of Steve Finney straight away.
Well, yeah, a Finney wonderland.
I know. The world's best theme park.
Yeah.
Have you had a go on the Finney roller coaster? No, I was too busy on the Alison Pelelos.
But it's a great email because Malk also points out that the tune was belted out from the car park of the Civic offices in the May as Swindon displayed the Division Two Championship trophy. After who did we pip to the title though?
Oxford.
Right. A country mile. Another thing that Malk points out, he's listed all of Steve Finney's goals here, which is fantastic.
No, but he has to give or take his memory of that season. There's a little caveat on the bottom of his email. It says his memory's a bit hazy of that season because he only missed 3 matches. But, you know, which is fair enough. But the point you're going to list, the Blackburn one.
I like this, yeah. We played Blackburn in the Cup on the 20th of September 2005. And Finney did get a goal, but unfortunately, Mr. Alan Shearer scored twice, and He points out that the winner is, to this day, the hardest shot he can remember, hitting the back of the net at the Stratton Bank and coming out to settle on the 6-yard line. I mean, you know.
That's sure through and through, though, isn't it?
It really is.
Probably did the one-handed salute.
But yeah, I mean, the one.
Is that the game? I think
what salute are you talking about there?
You know, his one-handed celebration, not some masturbation ritual that he performs after scoring a goal, which wouldn't be allowed. I'm pretty sure that was the game that we lost 3-2. Well, it may not have been, but there was a game where I'm sure we lost 3-2.
No, yeah, quite possibly. I mean,
I have a personal favourite Steve Finney moment for me, which is when we played Blackpool that season. I was sat in the Arkell stand. Just so, if you're looking from the Domrock, so yeah, we've got the two benches, and we're sat off to the left. So I would be looking at the town end was kind of blocked from sight, to be honest, by the benches. And Finney scored at the town end, but it was also at a point when the sun was at a certain point in the sky, so it was sort of blinding my whole view. And Finney scored, and I remember turning to my mate, which is like obviously being quite young. Who scored? Who scored? Tell me who scored! And then the crowd singing Finney Wonderland, which confirmed to me who the goal scorer was, unless they'd all got it incorrectly.
Yeah, and that's a romantic image, isn't it? The sun glaring over the town end. I mean, that's
evocative.
It's really quite something, very evocative. It's a bit like Mysterious Cities of Gold or something like that.
Steve Finney, he was a good player, and looking through, it's a kind of it adds weight to the whole sort of cult player argument. He didn't score a shed load of goals.
No.
It wasn't like it was a 30-goal season.
No.
He scored 12,
I think, that season. Yeah. But, I mean,
but important goals.
Important goals, important season, particularly after. I mean, God, it was exciting back then, wasn't it? We were either getting relegated or promoted or making the playoffs.
I saw someone wearing that kit today. Really? You know the one where it's like the round neck of the with the white with the green little bit on top of it? The 95-96 one. Okay. What a kit that was.
Nice kit.
Yeah, I remember nice put players in there. Wayne O'Sullivan as well in centre midfield.
Oh, now you're talking.
The Chief up front.
So, basically, we just, you know, alongside match reviews, we thought it'd be nice to look back and, you know, with some fondness on players who perhaps, you know, don't always get, you know, aren't always the fans' favourites, but, you know, worth remembering.
Quite often as well, I think, with these sort of features, it's more of a, what are they up to now? How did their career go? And I'm not really interested in that, to be honest. I'm just remembering the impact he had on my insignificant life.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not sure who we're going to cover for the next player, but obviously we'll let you know. There'll be postings on either a blog or various forums. I have a slight inkling that it may be the Chief.
Really?
Wow.
I'd like to do Mark Walters.
Really?
I mean, I don't mean, you know, in any sort of weird way.
To be honest, he's probably out of your league.
Easy.
We'll see. Keep your eyes peeled.
Okay, so that was Wise Men Say Episode 2. Wise Men Say Episode 3 should be available on the Sunday, 26th of September. Hope you've enjoyed this one.
We've enjoyed it.
We've enjoyed it, definitely, yeah. I mean, that's all we—that's what we ever wanted.
Thank you for listening and getting this far.
Yeah, well done, yeah. I'm sure it was like wading through treacle.
Special thanks to our contributors.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Simon Fuller, Michael Baker, Malcolm Day.
Yes.
Big thanks to you.
Yeah, and anyone else that we have been in contact with who didn't get a mention, we're sorry. You know, we want to mention as many people as we can, but we also want to try and make it, you know, reasonably snappy and not so.
So a particular thanks to Paul D for your email on reasons for not attending the MK Dons match,
which you could probably do a whole podcast on.
Yeah,
almost
definitely.
Certainly. But anyway, we want to hear from you. The more information you give us, the less we have to rely on our own deep reserves of footballing analytical ability. So yeah, anything that you have to say is very, very welcome. Who should we talk about next when we talk about memories? You know, what cult heroes at the County Ground?
The Chief.
I mean, I want Mark Walters, but you know,
that's, I don't understand your Mark Walters obsession.
I'm a big fan. Alan O'Brien, is he a sensible soccer player? Are we being harsh on him? Can you see what we mean? Are we being ridiculous? Is he more of a FIFA 97? Do you have your own opinions of him? Perhaps he's a pro Evo. I mean, you know, look, email in. Let us know what you think. Charlie Austin, are we going to be okay till he gets back? Does anyone have any innovative solutions as to how we're gonna cope? I mean, obviously, we're probably just going to play DeSavi and Perricar up front. Yeah. But, you know, what do we think? You know, that's a big loss. Was it worth it? 3 points versus Austin out for a few weeks? I don't know, but anyway, let us know.
It's also the end of the loan window this month.
That's very true.
So who are we likely to get in?
Yeah,
do we want to get in?
Well, anything that you think we'd be interested in, let us know. Big Kev, is he a potential cult hero? Is he the creative force behind everything? I think he is. Ben thinks he is. What do you think? Mr. Prutton, is he Mr. Big Time, or does he just need more time?
Nice.
I thought that myself. Any historical inaccuracies, any wildly ignorant points that we've made, we want to hear about that as well. We're trying to make it as good as we can. We're not slicksters, but you know, we
admit we haven't got the base knowledge of a lot of people out there.
No, and I think that's fair. You know, I've been watching Town since I moved to Swindon in 1991, but I'm not a stato. My ability to pinpoint results, goals, and all the rest of it isn't particularly good, but that does not mean that I don't love the game. Oh God, massive love for the game, massive love for the game.
But overall, thank you very much for listening.
Yeah,
we hope to hear you back in episode 3.
Episode 3, 26th of September. Be there.
Bye.
Cheerio.